Well, this morning we're going to take a look at something that to one degree or another affects all of us. It's the subject of worry. For instance, worry paces up and down the airport terminal before boarding a flight. You know that you have to do this in order to get some sun, but what if the plane should crash at the end of the runway? Or even drop out of the sky en route? So worry boards the plane reluctantly and nervously sits down in the seat. It turns on its iPod and plugs in a pair of headphones in the hope of shutting out the noise of the now taxiing aircraft. Worry grips the seat as the plane thunders down the runway, while every muscle in the body tenses up. It wonders just how this hunk of metal, with all of this weight on board, will ever make it up into the air. But against all the laws of reason, worry is now airborne. Now for another distraction. Time to turn on the in-flight entertainment or read a book or open a newspaper, whilst constantly checking the time and longing for a strong tailwind so that the plane will arrive at the destination that much quicker. On another occasion, worry looks in the mirror, turns around and sees a mole on the back. Has that been there before? I don't remember noticing it. And if it has it grown? Worry heads to the bookcase to find a medical dictionary, opens it and begins flicking through the pages. It could be under anything. Worry closes the book and brushes it off. It's probably nothing. But then later in the day, there's that nagging thought that it could be something after all. Again, worry lies awake at night and thinks through what has to be done the next day, questioning how it'll all be fitted in and worrying about deadlines and other people's opinions. In fact, worry woke me up early on Friday morning with the realisation that I only had a day to write this sermon. I slipped out of bed, made a cup of coffee, turned on my laptop, prayed, and opened my Bible. Then I read these words and smiled at Jesus' definition of worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. With that encouragement, let's read the whole passage, shall we? Starting at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. It's on page 971 of these blue chapel Bibles. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Now, in today's world, there are plenty of things to worry about on a daily basis, aren't there? But in the midst of all of this, we learn that Jesus isn't worried. You know, there are some bits in the Bible that are difficult for us to interpret, aren't there? But this isn't one of them. In these 9 verses, Jesus uses the word worry 6 times. And he says, do not worry, 3 times. Jesus, you see, doesn't believe that we should be stressed out by anxiety and brought down by worry in our lives. And he's entitled to think that way because he happens to be in charge of everything. And he's able to do anything. Now, I realise that while worrying may be easier said than done, I do think that we can go a long way to reducing the amount of worry that we carry around. But first of all, because sometimes we get a little bit confused about the difference between needless worry and genuine concern, let me just define them for us. And talking of definitions, the King James Version translates this phrase, do not worry, as take no thought. And that's really quite misleading because Jesus isn't trying to promote thoughtlessness here. He's not saying that we shouldn't bother to plan ahead. The fact is that Jesus expects us to be responsible and think about the future, about our careers, our finances, and putting in things in place like life insurance. So he isn't saying don't think about the future, because that would be foolish. Instead, the emphasis here is on do not worry. And that's really quite different from having a genuine concern for something or someone. For example, the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, says in chapter 11, verse 28, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. You see, Paul was concerned about those churches that he planted, how they were doing, what they were up to, and whether they were following Christ faithfully. He was concerned about them, but he never worried about them. Ultimately, he left them in God's hands. So when does concern turn into worry? Well, someone has described it this way. Concern is when you can do something to help a situation, so you do what you can. But worry is when you can't do something, but you don't want to leave it up to God. In other words, worry is concern gone haywire, and it also leaves God out of the picture. For instance, you can be concerned about your health. And that's a right and good thing to be concerned about. You know, God made each one of us, didn't he? And we should aim to look after ourselves. And so in order to look after your body, you could begin to eat more healthily and take regular exercise. And these are things that you can do to help you stay healthy. But then to think that by not eating your 5 a day and not going to the gym twice a week will result in you developing a life-threatening disease, well, that's just unnecessary worry. You know, it's much wiser to remember that as believers, although we don't know what the future holds, we do know who holds the future. So why is it wrong to worry? Well, let's look at 3 reasons from these verses in Matthew chapter 6, and they're going to appear on the screen as well to help us follow them. Firstly, when we worry, we show a misunderstanding of who God is. In the second part of verse 25, Jesus says, is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Now, in effect, Jesus is saying here, you're worrying about things like food, the food that you're going to chew and the clothes that you're going to put on your back. But you're forgetting about the God who looks after you moment by moment. The God who keeps your brain working and your heart pumping. Isn't life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? After all, if God wants to keep us alive, then he's going to provide the means to do it. Therefore, don't worry about these things, Jesus says. God cares for you. He made you, and he's not going to give up on you. You know, if we believe in a creator God, then we also need to believe in a God who sustains us as well. Okay, you might say, I know that God can provide, but will he? Jesus goes on to say at the end of verse 32 that our Heavenly Father knows, underline that word, he knows all about the things we need. Now just suppose our daughter Ellie, as she got a little bit older, became worried about whether we were going to feed and clothe her. Or to say the least, we'd feel pretty bad as parents that she felt that way about us. And similarly, when we worry, we're saying to God, you know, God, I'm not so sure about you. Can I really trust you to take care of me? You know, I know that you made me, but I'm just not sure. And because I'm not sure, I'm going to try and take care of these things on my own. Let's ask ourselves these questions when we're tempted to worry. Have I got the right view of God? Do I really realise that he is my Heavenly Father and that he knows exactly what I need and he wants to help me? As 1 Peter 5 verse 17 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And that's got to be one of the most reassuring verses in the Bible, hasn't it? Now just turn with me for a moment to Matthew chapter 14, if you've got your Bibles open. Matthew chapter 14, it's on page 981. And here we have the story of the feeding of the 5,000. As you probably know, the crowds have followed Jesus across Lake Galilee to an out-of-the-way place. And there, Jesus has compassion on them, we're told, and he begins to heal their sick. But the trouble is that evening is fast approaching. And being in the middle of nowhere, there isn't anywhere to get any food. Send the people away, the disciples say to Jesus. Yet he replies in verse 16, they don't need to go away. You can give them something to eat. What happens next? Well, the disciples collect all that they can find and they say, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. In the parallel passage in John 6 and verse 7, Philip, one of the disciples, having done his own personal audit, says, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. And then Andrew chips in, 5 loaves and 2 small fish? But how far will they go among so many? So let's look at this situation from the right perspective. In all their calculations, the disciples have forgotten something. Yes, they had 5 loaves and 2 fish, but they also had Jesus. And in leaving Jesus out of the equation, they had begun to worry that they wouldn't have enough food. Now, right now, your mind might be wandering onto a problem that seems impossible to solve in your life. But as we found out last week, nothing is impossible with God. Jesus was the answer and the solution to the problem of feeding the 5,000. And he's also the answer to whatever difficulty we're facing. He was right there with those early disciples and perfectly capable of providing their daily bread. And he's also right here with us, still able to solve our problems, just as he's always done. What did Jesus do? Matthew 14, verse 19. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. He looked up, didn't he? So often we have a tendency, I know in my own life, to spend a lot of time getting tense and worrying about whatever is next, whatever it is that's on our minds, instead of just looking up and bringing these things before the Lord. Let's ask ourselves again, do we have a right view of God? Do we have total confidence in him to provide for all our needs and to help guide us in our lives? Then a second reason that it's wrong to worry is because it can affect our health. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus says there, Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Our culture today is obsessed with trying to lengthen life, isn't it? We exercise, we eat carefully, we supplement our diets with vitamins and minerals, we get regular physical checkups, and we do countless other things, all in the hope of adding a few more years to our lives. But then we also worry. In fact, not only does worrying not add more years to your life, medical studies show that it may actually shorten your life. Heart disease is said to be amongst the biggest killer, certainly among men in the UK, caused by, among other things, hypertension, high blood pressure, and anxiety. The word worry actually comes from the Anglo-Saxon word, which means to choke or to strangle. And that's really quite a good description of what worry does to us, isn't it? You know, worry can't stretch our savings account or bring back that wayward son or daughter or keep cancer or dementia at bay. But it will cause us to lose sleep. It will lead to ulcers, high blood pressure, and headaches. It will sour our mood and make us difficult to live with. It will distance our relationships with friends, and it will eventually stifle our relationship with God. In other words, worrying not only has physical consequences, it has spiritual consequences as well. As someone has said, worry is a bit like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Then thirdly, when we worry, it hinders our witness. Look at Matthew 6, verses 31 and 32. Here we read, "So don't worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your Father knows that you need them." As Christians, we are called to live distinctively different lives, empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's the theme of this Sermon on the Mount, in which these verses found in Matthew chapter 6 are a part of. Yet if we display a lack of trust in God by worrying, what does that say to our unsaved friends? First of all, what does it say about us? Surely it says that Jesus hasn't really made any difference to our lives. Then what does it say about God? Surely it says that he's not the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God that we say he is. Because by worrying, our conduct is given the impression that we don't really believe that he is sovereign, that he is Lord of all. We really do need to think about the kind of picture that we're presenting to those around us. Not only of ourselves, but also of our God. Are we ever concerned as Christians? Of course we are. We all have responsibilities and pressures. But let's not worry like the world does. For instance, as someone entering the exam room or going for an interview, having revised well and done your homework, do you sound like the person sitting next to you who doesn't realise that God is in control and holds the future in his hands? Or when we're short of money, do we moan and groan that we can't buy the latest widescreen TV to our friends, forgetting that God has agreed to supply our daily needs and not necessarily all the luxuries that this world has to offer? By worrying, Jesus says here that we are behaving like unbelievers. In fact, worrying could be defined as practical atheism. Well, finally, having looked at these verses and seen some ways in which Jesus says that worrying is wrong for a Christian, here are some ways in which we can overcome this troublesome tendency. Number one, focus on prayer. In Philippians 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And what's the promise that follows? "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Prayer really does work. And in saying that, I'm well aware that I haven't been through some of the difficult trials that some of you have faced in your own lives. But even in those moments when I have been concerned about something and I've been tempted to worry, I've come to realise that turning my problems over to God is really the wisest thing to do. Now, I don't know about you, but that thought at the start of this message regarding worry boarding a plane was actually all too real for me a few years ago. I mean, even today, I don't like flying. It still makes me quite anxious. But I can remember the first time I had to fly. I was about 21 and I was going to Bible college in Sweden. And I was worried sick about the journey. I can remember pacing up the hall in my parents' bungalow and losing sleep over the prospect of just getting on this plane. I even looked into the prospect of getting a ferry over there. But I came to that point where I realised that I was just going to have to face this fear head on. And so I prayed a lot about it. I prayed that God would just give me an inner peace about it all. And you know something? He really did. From the moment I stepped into the terminal at Stansted Airport, I can remember that all that anxiety just being taken away. I know it sounds a bit cheesy, but it was as though a weight had been lifted off of my shoulders. It didn't consume my mind anymore. And although I was on my own, humanly speaking, I knew that God was there with me. Now, I'm sure that you all have your own stories of how God has given you peace during otherwise stressful times as you've seen your prayers answered. And let's remember that we don't just have to pray on our own. In fact, telling our friends and our family about our concerns and asking them to pray for us and with us, it helps to share the burden, doesn't it? So that's the first thing, focus on prayer. Helpful hint number two regarding how we can deal with worry takes us back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And the advice here is to focus on the kingdom. Jesus says there in verse 33, "But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." In our world, people seek with great passion all the wealth they can accumulate. And if they have any time and energy left, then they might think about spiritual things. But what Jesus says here changes our priorities, doesn't it? We are to think about spiritual things first and not last. Now, he doesn't say seek the kingdom of God and ignore your financial needs. He says in so many words, seek the kingdom of God as your top priority, and then the rest will take care of itself. If the kingdom of God is our passion, if it's what we love most of all and long for, then we won't need to worry about the necessities of life, because God promises to provide all of those things for us. The author and pastor Max Lucado writes, if you seek the kingdom of wealth, you'll worry over every pound. If you seek the kingdom of health, then you'll be concerned over every bump and blemish. But seek the kingdom of God, and you will find it. On that you can depend and not worry. And last but not least, number three. To help us overcome worry, we need to focus on today. In Matthew 6, verse 34, it's as though Jesus hammers the death nail into worry. For the third and final time, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus seems to know and understand that there will be some unavoidable troubles and concerns that will need to be dealt with today. But you know, he wants us to live one day at a time and not worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. And take this thought home with you this morning. In reality, many worries, if not most, never actually materialise. As someone has said, I've had a lot of trouble, most of which never happened. So when it comes down to it, worry is really just a waste of time, thought, and nervous energy. And in its place, we need to concern ourselves with today, while trusting that the Lord will provide for all of our tomorrows. Lamentations 3 and verse 22, I don't expect you to find it, but it says there, because of the Lord's love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. And then we read, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Do we live day by day, obediently trusting the Lord to help us? Or are we trying to carry tomorrow's burdens as well? Again, let's remember that we are called to just live one day at a time. And for that, God's grace will be sufficient.